2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 14. If you ever heard a message, listen to this message. Whatever you do, please take some notes, because you'll not hear all the message that I preach. It will become bigger after this message has come and gone. For I truly believe this message will not leave. Hold your finger on 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 14. And let me just quote to you Romans chapter 8, verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? And remember, the other part of that verse said, what shall we then say to these things? We've quoted that verse for years, but there are conditions. If God be for us, who can be against us? But what do we say about that? I've gone to conventions for several years because they promised me I'd never be the same again. But I came home the same. And recently I said, Lord, what about that? He said, the reason was they said it, but you didn't say it. I can't live by what you say. I can't even live by what God says unless I say the same thing. There's a book full of everything you need called the Holy Bible. But every promise, no matter how strong, how all-inclusive it may be, unless you agree with that, unless you say, I believe that, it will work, but it will work for others and not for you. God spoke something to my heart that I think is going to be a life-changing truth. It already has proven to be that. So let me give you the text for it from 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now thanks be unto God. And one of the reasons we thank God is that God always causes us to triumph through Jesus Christ. And as the Lord brought that verse to my heart, listen to me. God spoke this to my heart. God always wins. I'm going to try it with this section right here. Can you say it with me? God always wins. I want to try it with this section right here. I believe you can do a little bit better than that. Are you ready? God always wins. Oh, watch out now, this intersection. Say it with me. God always wins. So there's three things that I want to share with you. The first, we're already in the beginning of it. God always wins, and the devil always loses. And if our faith and our trust is in God and His Word, God always causes us to triumph through Jesus Christ. So number one, God always wins. Number two, the devil always loses. And number three, if our total faith and trust is in God, He always causes us to triumph through Jesus Christ. Now, with those principles established, I thought about how God created a paradise for Adam and Eve. And then, of course, you know the story how that Satan showed up. And of course, Adam and Eve made a bad decision, and they failed. But thank God, in the cool of the evening, God showed up. I said, in the cool of the evening, God showed up. I know the win wasn't immediate, but thank God the win did happen, because God, through woman, bruised Satan as he has never been bruised before. So God gave the paradise. Man made the mistake. Man sinned. But God showed up in the cool of the evening. And thank God we began to see the principle through the Word of God as God began to walk me through. God always wins. The devil always overplays his hand and ultimately loses. And those who put their trust and faith in God, God causes us to triumph through the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about Abraham, how that God promised Abraham that he would be blessed and be a blessing. But Abraham lied and he sinned and he called Sarah his sister. Oh, I know it was a half-truth, but God doesn't even like half-truths. She was his half-sister, but he did not tell the truth. You look at that, if I'd been God, I don't know what would have happened on that occasion. But thank God, God showed up in mercy and in grace. And even the king refused to be intimate with Sarah, who bore Isaac, the promised child. Yes, there are consequences of sin to be dealt with. But I want you to know that those that put their trust in God, God is the God of restoration. God is the God of the second, third, and God only knows how many chances, if we could say it. And God always wins, and Satan always loses. Thank God Isaac was born. And those who put their trust in the Lord, they did win. Going further, you remember after the promised child came. Oh, God says we're going to find out some things. And so he calls upon Abraham to go to the altar with his son. Something that sounds totally reversed to the character of God. And that son was as good as dead. But God showed up. God showed up. God showed up. And I want you to know, when it looks like your blessing and your overflow and your breakthrough that you were just getting ready to enjoy is as good as dead, watch it. God's going to show up. God's going to show up. And God always wins. Moses heard the promise of God through the burning bush. You're to go and lead my people out of Egypt. Did God say it or did he not say it? Did God tell Moses, you are to be my deliverer? Go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go? Well, Moses did that. And like all of us, we said, well, I thought God said it. I thought that's what God meant. And so Moses goes into the land of Egypt, and time after time, Pharaoh's heart is turned. Even to the Red Sea, as finally he says, yes, go. And now Satan says, yes, whatever God says, we've already destroyed that. And Pharaoh and his army are closing in, and it's all over now, but God showed up. God showed up. And in Exodus, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14, Moses prophesies, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. And I want to give you a quote that God gave to me. Today's enemy is history. Today's enemy is history for those who will trust God and realize that God always wins. Oh, God spoke to Moses and he said, listen, I've given this thing into your hand. Look at your hand, Moses. Look at your hand. Oh, thank God, the rod. Use the rod. And God showed up and God won. I remember when God spoke to Joshua and the word of God said that Jericho was straitly shut up because of the people of God. You know why this world's so running in fear? Because of the people of God. Well, if these Christians ever got together, we could vote a Christian into the White House. They realize, and that's why they're trying to discredit anyone who claims to be a Christian as being the frenzied fringe element. And so God spoke to Joshua. He said, you're to take Jericho. But the truth of it was that Joshua was shut up. None went out. None could come in. And yet God said, if you can see it, you can have it. I've given the land into your hand. I've given it into your hand. Into your hand. Look at your hand. Look at your hand. God said, I have given the city into your hand. Your hand will help rule the city. Your hand will help take the city. Your hand will count the spoil of the city. I've put it in your hand. Hands are so wonderful. They can do sin, they can do evil, or they can be laid on the sick and they shall recover. They can be laid on the demon possessed and demons must flee. Look at your hand. I've given to you Jericho, the king, the mighty men of valor. Oh, you're just to march and pray and give and believe in faith, believing for 6 days. See, most of the church would have jumped the traces by that. You mean I've got to do something 6 days in a row? I don't mind doing something on one day, but you mean 6 days we have to walk around the city and I don't even get to prophesy? I don't even get to give a word from God? I don't get to sing my song? I don't get to preach my sermon? I don't get to teach my lesson? I don't even get to testify? Count me out. I'm telling you, folks, there has never been a greater need for gospel workers than there is today. And if you're willing to be quiet and march with God, there'll be a time you can shout it from the housetops. If you're willing to be obedient in the small things, God will open up the big things for you. If you're willing to do what, you know, is that's not my gift. W-O-R-K is not my gifting. You don't understand, I prophesy. God's given me the mystical powers to single-handedly take nations. Some things I've heard lately. But a dirty four-letter word called Hoover, vacuum cleaner, pick up paper. I mean, God's called me to the higher position. Let me tell you something. If you're willing to do anything, God will use you to do everything. Oh, are you willing to walk around the wall 6 days, six times, and on the seventh day, seven times? Well, I can prophesy that seventh day. I mean, I can sing my song and teach my lesson. Yes, my gift will flow on the seventh. No, you do nothing except shout. What? But you don't understand the years of training. You don't understand. It was prophesied to me by my favorite aunt that I would be greater than Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and some of the greater names we could call. You don't understand. I'm destined for greatness. But my hands don't work. I'm not wasting time this morning. Our Bible school is going to be harder than it's ever been before because we must produce revivalists for the 21st century that are not afraid to get their hands dirty. Not afraid to pick up paper if that needs to be. Not afraid to do the menial task, because if you're willing to do what God calls you to do, God will permit you to do much more than you ever thought you would do. And then as they marched the seventh time, they were all to shout. And they blew the trumpet and the ram's horn, and the people shouted. But wait a minute, they didn't hear my teaching. They didn't hear my gift. All those people making noise, they can't hear my prophecy. God gave me a very unique gifting. He gave you, first of all, oh, I heard a word from God. Until you learn to shout, you're not qualified for anything. Until you learn to praise the Lord, nothing else is going to work. Until you're willing to be one of the crowd and just worship God because it's the thing to do and because it's in your heart, I'm going to tell you, God anoints and blesses and exalts and promotes worshipers of God. Praisers and worshipers of God. And they blew the trumpet. You know, if I was in that crowd, I really couldn't care less as long as the walls came down. I could say for the rest of my life, I was in the crowd that gave the shout. I was in the crowd that praised the Lord. I was one of many who exalted the name of our God. I was there. Ask me. I was part of the crowd. Oh, Satan raised up a giant by the name of Goliath, who mocked God's people and all that was sacred and holy. But listen to me, for every Goliath, there is a shepherd boy. For every great giant of a Goliath, there is a shepherd boy. And while Goliath was cursing the name of God and causing the camp of God to run in fear, there was a shepherd boy who was caring for the sheep. I talked to a man of God the other day. He said, you know, everyone who thinks they remotely are called to do something for God ought to go out in the hills and watch the sheep and the shepherd and watch the relationship of what happens there. David learned to be faithful. David learned to stand against the lion and the bear. David learned to stand against boredom. I've been out here herding these dumb sheep for this long period of time. Nobody knows who I am. I'm just the younger brother. The other brothers are up at the war. I'm just a shepherd boy. You know, folks, some way, somehow, this thing just keeps coming back to my heart. When you get excited about who you are right now in Christ, and when you do what you can do, don't fret about what you can't do. Do what you can do. Do what you can do. Don't get bent out of shape. Well, I want his job, or I want her job, or I want to do that, or why, why. When do what you can do. They went downtown and just started witnessing to people. Anybody can do that. Anybody can be a witness. Anybody can lift up the name of Jesus. I always like to get an aisle seat on the plane because I've got my position dominated. I've had more than one people move seats to get away from a witness. But before they left, it took me a long time to get my legs uncrossed. Wherever you go, talk about Jesus. Testify about Jesus. Sing about Jesus. Give a cup of cool water in the name of Jesus. Buy someone's lunch in the name of Jesus. So there was Goliath. And so Satan rears his ugly head again. And he says, I have the people of God in fear. But thank God there was a shepherd boy by the name of David who challenged, and the fight was on. Now listen to me. This is so good. There's always a time element between the challenge and the actual conquering. David walked into the camp and he said, is there not a cause? But the battle was not over. The battle was not even on. But the challenge had gone forth. He fired the shot. He asked the question, is there not a challenge? Now he has to go through the family thing. His brothers saying, you know, you're only David. And then he goes to the king who tries to put his armor on David, and that's not going to work either. And then it finally comes down to doing it. It's wonderful to write books about it. It's wonderful to have testimonies about it, but it's wonderful to just do it. Now he walks out on the battlefield, and Goliath is as tall as he's ever been. David is as whatever height he was or as short as he's ever been. But David does not back off, and the giant says, I'm going to destroy you. But David said, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And God showed up. God showed up. God showed up. God showed up. And one stone did what the army could not do. One stone of faith. I'm looking for some stones of faith in this audience this morning. I'm looking for a few stones of faith. Just a few stones of faith. One stone of faith will bring the Goliath in your life or in your business or in your family or whatever. One stone will bring that down. Oh, yes, God showed up. Because God always wins. And the devil always loses. And if our trust and faith is in God, he always causes us to triumph through the Lord Jesus Christ. God always wins. Satan always loses. And if our faith and trust is in God, he always causes us to triumph. 400 years of silence. God's been trying to talk and they won't listen. So God said, we'll turn this thing around. 400 years of silence. But you know, God's always had a people. God's always had a promise, and God's always had a plan. The devil says, see, I've silenced even God's voice in the earth. 400 years of silence. It's all over. But God showed up, and the brightest star that had ever shone began to shine. Out walking for several nights recently, they told me it was a satellite. Oh, it was the brightest light, and I thought it was an airplane, but it didn't move, and it was a star, and it just was there. And I thought, oh, God, that's just a Twinkie compared to the star that began to shine. The brightest star that had ever shone. It was a star of hope. That's what you need in the darkness of your night. You need a star of hope. You need a star of hope and faith and love. And then the angels began to sing, and the devil said, I thought I had this thing all sewed up. And now the message comes forth, peace, goodwill to all men. As we sing today, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Unto you this day is born a Savior, and his name shall be called Jesus. And after 400 years, when the devil said, I thought I had it sewed up, God showed up. And thank God again, God wins, and the devil loses. And those who put their trust and faith in God, he always causes us to triumph. And then the devil said, well, I lost that one. And so a few years later, he stirs up religion. Religion is the worst enemy of revival anyway. And it took them 3.5 years, but finally in the fullness of time, it was all coming to pass. And so they trump up the charges. You know, the world doesn't mind us being quiet, sedate, not rocking the boat, never making the newspapers, never having crowds, never having any money. But when the Church of the Living God begins to flex its muscle, they get nervous every time. Get nervous every time. They're nervous when they see these television stations rising up all over the countryside. They're nervous when they see Christian businessmen and businesswomen and entrepreneurs trusting God's word and God raising them up. So you know the story. They arrested Jesus, and he went through the mock trial, and he went through the scourgings of Calvary, and they put him on the cross. And you know the devil, he's so stupid. He's so stupid. He just keeps trying. He just keeps trying. And so he says, see, it's been a long haul. But he said, after all my disappointments, we got him on the cross. We got him on the cross. And then they carried him off to the tomb. But oh, you know the story better than I do. I hope you do. Thank God we were there in last March, and it's still on the door of the tomb. He is not here. He is risen. God showed up. And thank God Jesus came forth with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And saints marched the streets of Jerusalem. Kind of scary, huh? It is if you don't know the Lord. Oh, thank God. And then I see the Lord saying, Father, what are we going to do? And he said, call them to the upper room. So he commanded 500 to go, and it's about like the church world today. 120 made it. Hello. I mean, we just get so fired up. We know we got some new wine, some fresh oil. We've had a word from God. I know there's people, if I could physically guarantee that Jesus Christ would have been on this platform this morning, and I could have proven that, they would have said, could you send me a tape? I want to be here because he's always going to be here. Can you imagine how bleak that upper room was? A lot of griping and groaning going on until they finally got in one mind and one accord. And they tried to vote, and that didn't work out very well. I mean, just all kinds of things went on in the upper room. But finally, something clicked in place. You know, there's not a time I preach but what I don't think of the day of Pentecost. Every time I come to the pulpit in this nation, in conferences, conventions, or across the seas, I just say, I just, Lord, is this the day that you're going to show up and we're all going to be in one mind and one accord? Is this going to be the day when we forget about everything except Jesus? Is this going to be the day when we lay differences and offenses and all of our ideas aside and we're in one mind and in one accord, praising the name of the Lord? They did. And you know the story. The devil fired his best shot, but God showed up. And the world has never been the same since the Holy Ghost came. Yes, we've rediscovered the Holy Ghost at Calvary Cathedral International. Holy Spirit's wonderful, but Holy Ghost is a pride buster. Well, could I give you two more? I needed this. God spoke to my heart in a time when I needed this, and he said, son, God always wins. And the devil always loses. And those who put their trust and faith in God, he always causes them to triumph. Peter's cast in prison. The devil says, I finally got him. I finally got him. He finally got straightened out, and now I've got him in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church. You know, I don't understand some people. Some charismatics, full gospels, Pentecost, whatever you want, they think that prayer's old-fashioned. They say that prayer is works. I have a new answer from God. You better know it. Prayer does work. Because when prayer goes up, God comes down. I do not want a prayerless revival. I do not want a prayerless church. I do not want a prayerless ministry behind this pulpit. That's not all we do, but that's part of what we do. I've dreamed for years of having a 24-hour prayer ministry, and thank God, since May of 1995, thank God, the ice couldn't stop it, the snow couldn't stop it. When all the electricity went off in this building 3 or 4 times, that couldn't stop it. Nothing could stop it because it was ordained of God. Prayer really does work. When your back's against the wall, try your knees on the floor. It works every time. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Now today, if Peter was in prison, we'd get the best lawyer in town, and we'd try to get all of our influence together. But I'm going to tell you what, God knows how to open jails. Isn't that amazing? He created this vast, great universe. Man's up there trying to figure out something that God's created and could have told them all about it years ago. But the doors opened and an angel appeared, because God always wins. Satan always loses. And if our trust and faith is in God, we win. Well, you say, wait a minute, what about Stephen? He won. He won because as the stones were beating out his life, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Oh, the well done of God was spoken from heaven even as his life was taken away. Well, look at Paul. We've tried everything in the world. But now Satan says, I've got the perfect solution. He's a prisoner, and I'm going to put him in a killer storm, and I'm going to sink his ship. But he didn't realize that the one that was on that ship was a prisoner of hope. And so while they were all worried about the storm, Paul's doing what works anyway. He's fasting and praying. And you know what? He got a word from God. You get a word from God, it will work. A word from God will work anywhere in the world, no matter what the color of your skin is, whether you're broke or have millions of dollars in the bank. You get a word from God, you can bank on that. And when everything was in a frenzy, and I'll tell you, there's never been more diversities of opinion in the church world. Wouldn't it be refreshing if the church just got back to the book of Acts and the Gospels? No, don't ignore the epistles. We must have them. But some people said, you know, we're so deep, we've gone away from the Gospels and the book of Acts. That's fanaticism. And now we're getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And some people can dive in shallower and come out deeper than anything I've ever seen in my life. God, stir our hearts today. Paul prayed. And Paul came on board ship and he said, I have a word from God. They said, hush, preachers don't know anything about boats. It's amazing what a preacher knows when he's had a word from God. And Paul said, this night there stood by me the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said, Paul, don't worry about it. Ship's going down, but you're going over. And I'm going to give you every sailor on board this ship. One more time, God always wins. Satan always loses. And those who put their trust and faith in God always come through. Oh, could I give you one more? John, let's get rid of him. Well, are we going to send him to Hawaii, Acapulco, Padre Island? No, we're going to send him to Patmos, the worst place possible. You know, you can't keep a good man or a woman down who has faith in God. Can't keep them down. You can put them on a rock heap and they'll start selling rocks or doing something with it. They'll make a rock festival out of it. So they put John away from other Christians, put him away from Christian TV, put him away from Christian radio, put him away from this church or any other church, and put him out on the Isle of Patmos. There's nothing there. John is banished to the Isle of Patmos. But somehow he knew that it was the Lord's day. And most Christians that I know who had had a deal like John would have said, I'm not going to church today. I'm not going to let Pastor Nichols pump me up one more time for me to be let down. He has this anointing to encourage people and help people, and he could almost encourage the devil if there was a chance. I'm not going to church. I have a pity party to end all pity parties. and I'm going to stay home. And Brother Tim said, nurse it and hearse it, rehearse it and savor in this thing. No, sir, I'm not going to tithe anymore. I'm not going to church anymore, much less praise and worship. But you know what John did? I'm not trying to be foolish with this, folks. You know, you can get just as complicated as you want to with the gospel of Christ, but it comes back down to a few basics that I could count on both hands, sometimes one. And I want you to know, when you don't know what else to do, just begin to praise the Lord. Get you a cup of coffee out on the back porch or a cup of tea and just walk around and say, Lord, it's never looked worse. Reached in my pocket, but the cupboard was bare. Lord, I know what my bank account is. There's no sense in trying to check that out. And Lord, you know this husband or this wife that I have. You know how things are going. But you know, I'm not going to worry about the job, and I'm not going to worry about whatever may or may not be happening at home. I'm not going to worry about whether I can figure the preacher or the churches out. I'm just going to praise the Lord. I'm just going to magnify the name of God. Not because he's done something for me, but just because he deserves and inhabits the praises of God's people. I'm just going to praise you, Lord. I magnify your name, O God. I exalt your name. And the Bible said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I couldn't tell you how many times when the pressure was on, I walked through this auditorium, there wasn't a soul here. But I said, Lord, in the natural, I have no excuse or no reason to do it, but I'm just going to praise the Lord. I'm going to magnify your name. I'm going to reflect upon the goodness of God. And you know what? God shows up in the middle of that every time. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. There's things you can't do, but there's things you can do. Anytime you want to do by faith, you can praise the Lord. And you know what Brother Gary was actually teaching us today is, you know, we've missed the whole point. We come in and it takes 30 minutes of cheerleading to get us propped up. But the scriptural way is we should come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Dear God, if we came to church praising and worshiping God, you'd be impossible to handle by the time we got through with praise and worship. Praise and worship is not cameo. Praise and worship is not performance. Praise and worship is not an excuse for the arts. It's to magnify the name of God. It's to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And God used him to write those powerful chapters of Revelation. Today on your Patmos, do you dare to trust God to be in the Spirit? Do you dare, in spite of every circumstance that plagues your life, to turn away from the circumstances and look to God? And say with everything that you have within you, Pastor Nichols, by faith, I believe this message that you're sharing from 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 14. I'm going to give thanks unto God, who always causes me to triumph when I feel it and when I don't feel it, when my body has no strength, when my bank account has no substance, when there is not one encouraging word, I am going to praise the Lord and exalt his name together, because God always wins and the devil always loses. And if our trust and faith is in God, he always causes us to triumph.